around me, stillness of the waves. Stormy dark waters roll over my heart. The winds and the storm clouds contribute their part. Stormy dark waters around me they roll. The winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. Stormy dark water soon come to pass. Sun has been covered by clouds all the day, but I know it still shines. I can tell when I pray. The way all love smooth sailing in a warm southern breeze. Stormy dark water bring us all to our knees. Stormy dark waters around me they roll. Winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But often distance, the sun shines at last. Stormy dark waters soon come to pass. God charged the waters, oh fishers of men. Just hoist up your mainsail, let your journey begin. Stormy dark waters round you will roll. Just don't let the thunder trouble your soul. Journey soon over, the safe port at last. Stormy dark waters will soon come to pass. Stormy dark waters will soon come to pass.
I always heard the best, quickest way to get through a storm was to drive straight into it. Amen? Yeah. Quickest way to get through one, amen? Just drive straight into it, amen? Well, there's a reason why. We need a mic up here, by the way. We forget. We always forget something, don't we? Amen? I don't know how they do it in the big mega churches. I really don't. I guess they got more people doing more things. But anyway, I want you to get your Bible, turn to 1 Peter, if you would. And I want you ladies to look a little bit more cheery. It's not going to be that bad, I promise. It won't be as bad as last Sunday mornings, I can tell you that. Amen. Last Sunday mornings was a ringer. It was like one on the top of them old washing machines where you had them two rolls. And you crank it. That's a ringer, amen. When I went into that one, I didn't know it was going to be near as painful. And I come out the other side, man, it was all squeezed out of me. So Don't turn the volume on yet. Let me get it through my shirt. But I'm really glad the Lord led me to preaching on these individual sins, because it's really a blessing, and it really will help us in our walk with Him to get these things dealt with. Amen. I think we're okay there, Lonnie. Let's see what you got. Well, I got it in the right place. Let's see if it... Yeah, I think it was neighbor's washing machine was on there. Maybe you turned on number 7 back here. Let's see. I think that's better. I think we got it. I don't know what you... Whatever button you push for washing machine, don't push that one again. Amen. Okay. All right. That was the fan blowing. All right. All right. 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll give them just a minute to get everything going back there. Let me know when you're ready, and we'll take off from there. But we're ready?
I was going to tell you, Brother Wallace mentioned on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Pray for his brother, Bruce.
Yeah. All right, y'all remember Brother Wally Langford? His brother's having triple bypass Tuesday. Let's lift him up in prayer right now. His brother Bruce, let's just stop and do that right this minute. Father, we lift up Bruce Langford to you this morning, Lord, and we pray, Father, for, Lord, your grace be upon him. Lord, we pray for the surgery, pray for the doctors. You'd guide their hands and help them and skillfully work and restore him to health, Lord, that he might serve you. Father, we just praise you. Thank you for Brother Wally and Noah and bless him this morning. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all pray for my tongue. I can't get to work this morning, throwing consonants in there that don't belong. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Have you found that? All right, let's read. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, we're going to pray in just a second, but I want you to understand what that verse is saying to us this morning. Amen. I want to make application to the message this morning I'm going to preach on separating from worry. Amen. We've been talking about all these sins, separating from self. We've been talking about separating from, somebody help me, what other ones? Failure to make restitution, separating from, come on. Y'all can't remember none of these, huh? Okay, how about bitterness? Amen. So we got to get back into this thing and remember these. I mean, I'm hoping these things are sinking in with you. Amen. I really do. But anyway, there's a reason why the Bible tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There is a tendency in even solid believers who've been in the Word for years and been saved for years, there's a tendency for us, when something goes wrong, for us to try to handle it. We have a problem with weakness. We have a problem staying in that place of weakness. We have a problem. let's talk all our talking after church. We have a problem. Amen. We have a problem with letting God deal with things. The moment something hits, the moment something breaks, the moment something falls apart, the moment somebody gets sick, the moment that we have any kind of problems in any area of our life. Is this mic too loud? Feels like it's loud. Turn it down just a little bit. Anytime we have a problem in our life, the first thing we tend to do, it's our tendency as a human being, is to try to jump up and take the reins and take hold of it, and what we do, we fail. And we have a very short memory, because we can't remember the last time we did the very same thing and we failed. And when we can't fix it, then we begin to worry. We begin to worry because we couldn't fix it. We can't, in our little pea brain, figure out the answer.
So we worry. What will we do? How will we handle this? What's going to happen? We expect the worst. Amen? Nod your heads up and down, ladies. I know y'all do it. Amen? I'm not picking on women this morning, but I do know. I've been in the world long enough. I've come to realize, been around enough men, been around enough ladies to realize that men tend to not worry about stuff. Ladies worry all the time, and that's just the way it goes. I've learned that. Amen? Some ladies, maybe you don't worry, and if you don't, praise God, you have conquered one of the biggest hindrances and weaknesses that I've found that women have. Amen? Because it is definitely one of your biggest weaknesses is worry. And I'm going to help you this morning, if I can, to see that it's very wrong. Amen. So God says we need to humble ourselves under His hand, because His hand's in control. God never takes a moment off. Never takes a moment off. There's never a time when God can't fix something because God's too busy doing something else. There's never a time when God doesn't want to. He wants to take care of us. We're His children. We're the sheep of His pasture. Amen. He loves us. So, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Right now, you may feel low, but you just wait. God's going to come to your rescue. The Bible tells us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God's going to come to the rescue. Read the Psalms if you want to see God come to the rescue. Look at Psalm 18. We'll be looking at that tonight, hopefully, if the Lord leads in that direction, and I think He will. So pray for me about tonight's message. I'm not sure and settled just yet. But He will lift you up in His timing. Amen? And then He follows that statement up with this statement. I know they're connected because there's only a colon separating them. Amen? It's still the same sentence. He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So God is telling us not to exalt ourselves, but to let Him exalt us. Us to not try to lift ourselves up and pick ourselves up by the bootstraps, but to let God do it. You can't fix it. And if you could exalt yourself without God's help, what would you do? Say, God, look what I did. I didn't need you this time. You never thought about it like that, huh? Amen. Would you be proud? Hey, I did it. Didn't need God. See there? Sounds awful when you put it that way, doesn't it? That's why He says to humble yourself. Amen. Casting all, notice that three-letter word, A-L-L, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us now these next few moments. Lord, as we get into this study, Lord, in this message, I pray, Father, for power. I pray, Lord, that you would just fill me with your Holy Ghost, Lord, that you give me unction from above, Lord. And I pray, Father, that this message just take off, Lord, that it be nothing of me, but it be all of Thee. And Lord God, I pray You'd get all the glory. And I pray, Lord, that folks would be helped this morning. That's why we're here, to be a help to others. Please, Lord, we pray Your blessing now upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're not feeling fully awake, I want you to take just a moment and pinch yourself and get awake, because you need this message more than you need to be groggy. Okay? God wants you to hear this morning. That's why He brought you here and put you in these pews. Amen. That's the reason He gave me this message and the reason I studied all afternoon yesterday. Let's get together and let's focus on this. Amen. All right. Let me read you this little. It was from the book I was reading on worry. I want you to. This was I don't even know whose quote this was, but anyway, here's what it said. It said, "I have noticed a cloud on your face for some time past," said one friend to another, whom knew she had been worrying about certain things. The cloud on the face is caused by care or worry in the heart. For when it is in the heart, it is sure to leave its stamp on the face, even as a disordered liver will color the features. Just as a liver that's out of whack will make the skin yellow, worry may exist in your heart, but worry will show up on your countenance. Worry will come through in your words. Worry will penetrate your actions. And worry thus will discolor and distort your testimony as a child of God. just as a Christian who falls into any other sin, and that sin will separate them from the fellowship that they have with the Lord Jesus and will shut them out from the blessings of God, will close the window to all of God's favor until the heart repents and gets right and restores that fellowship, worry will do the very same thing to you that any of these other sins will do. Amen. I'm just going to get right to it because there's no way to tiptoe around this. Let's just look at what it does. Worry, as I said, chokes the development of your spiritual life. God wants you to grow. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to mature. He wants us to be perfect. Isn't that what we've read? He wants us to be perfect. And what is perfect? It's full grown. It's mature. It's what we have a great understanding of God and His promises, the depth of His promises. We have an understanding of what God will do in our life and what He wants to do in our life. We have an understanding of His love. We have an understanding of His promises. We have an understanding of His power. We have an understanding of His protection. We have an understanding of His provision. We have an understanding of all those things, and those things give us a security, amen, and a fearlessness to walk in this fearful world. I'm telling you, God's power, God's mercy, and His grace should give us, I mean, it's the same. That's what caused David to walk down into that valley. That's what caused Daniel to walk into that den of lions with confidence. That's what caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, "Oh, King, we're not careful to answer thee. We're not worried." Amen. That's what he was saying. That's what they said. "We are not careful to answer thee, O King. We're not worried about answering you. We're not worried about it. Because God's going to take care of us. If we perish, we perish. But we'll be with Him either way." Amen. So it's the power and grace of God that allows us to walk fearlessly through this old fearful world. And that's what we've got to get our head around if we're ever going to be confident in the Lord. And that worry is nothing more than us saying, "I don't know if God can handle this." Man, it sounds terrible when you put it in those words, but that's what worry says. I don't know if God will show up. Actually, God's not even in the picture. Actually, God's not even in the picture at all because we're not letting God do anything. We're not even asking God to do anything. We're not counting on God. God's in our rear view. We've turned from God and we've turned to our problem. He said, "Neither turn to the right hand nor to the left." Well, if we took our eyes off Him to deal with our problem, then we've turned. Amen. And if we've turned our eyes away from the Lord, the Bible says, "Hey, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" We've turned our eyes from the light of glory to the darkness of this world. Amen. I ain't even gotten my message. All the stuff God just throwing this in my brain as I'm going. Amen. But that's what we've done when we worry. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I told you the other night about prayer. I said that's one of my biggest hindrances has been my prayer life over the years, not having the best prayer life that I could possibly have. Worry is not a problem that I normally have. I try not to worry. I normally don't worry. Amen? I don't know in here if you worry. I don't know if you have a problem with worry. I'm just guessing that there are many of you in here this morning that have a problem with worry. I don't know. But it chokes out your development of your spiritual life. You can't grow up and be what God wants. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be conformed into the image of God's Son. Amen. We cannot continue that process as long as we are choking out our spiritual development with worry. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Turn there in your Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. I know this is the parable of the sower and the seed, and I know it doesn't particularly directly apply because we're talking about believers this morning, and some of these were believers and some of these were not believers, but what he says applies to us in our life as believers. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Notice what it says. It says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares," there you go, "and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring what? No fruit to perfection. You see that? They're choked out with cares. They're choked out with worry. They're choked out, listen, and I think it all goes together there. Hey, they're choked out with cares. They're choked out with riches. They're chasing some dream, chasing that American dream, trying to have more than everybody else. They're worried about how am I going to get ahead, worried about how am I going to have this, worried about the pleasures of this life, worried about amusements, worried about things, worried about materialism, worried about everything but what really truly matters being concerned with, which is our spiritual life. And it chokes that spiritual life out. Amen. You're robbing your spiritual life, worried about a materialistic life. Choking out what could be and having something that don't amount to anything. Well, what are we talking about? I looked online. I said, what are the different areas of a person's life that they worry about? Well, I broke it down. We worry, number one, about our family life. Parents worry about children. I worry about who they're going to be around. I worry about the influences around them. worry about their well-being. Worry about their health. Worry about their education. Just, there's a million things. When it comes to children, there's a million things we can worry about. And when we talk about family, we're not just talking about our children. We're talking about our parents. We're talking about our brothers and sisters. We're talking about cousins, aunts and uncles. We're talking about our family, anybody that's not your spouse. Those are the people that cause us to worry. Why? Because we can't do anything to change them. We'd love to change them. We'd love to help them. And we try and we try and we worry, 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 worry. When we don't, just turn them over to God and be done with it. Get ourselves sick over somebody doing something or somebody asking. Just throw them on God's altar. Throw them on there. And say, God, you help me with this, and are they going to go to hell? Are they going to ruin their testimony? Or whatever the decision may be, whatever circumstance there is, God, you have to do it. But we worry about family. What else do we worry about? We worry about our love life. That's your spouse. Amen. Amen. We worry, I mean, and I've never been a woman for one second, but one thing I have learned over the years, and I'm not picking on Stephanie this morning, don't get me wrong, but one thing I have learned by being a married man and being around other married men and being around wives and, you know, just relationships, being a pastor, one thing I have learned is that women particularly worry about trying to change their husbands. They find something about him that they don't like, and they try to change it. And they'll worry about it and worry about it and worry about it. I'm going to try to help you this morning. Let me tell you something. You can't change him. In a big, bold letters, I wish I could paint it as big as this back wall, you can't change him. So quit trying. What do I do? Give him to God. It's not for you to fix. Nowhere in the Bible will you find where a wife is supposed to correct and fix her husband. Nowhere in the Bible does it say she is to lead her husband. Nowhere in the Bible is she responsible for her husband. Amen. That is one of the biggest problems in marriages. Do you realize that? A wife wanting to fix what she sees as wrong and won't turn him over to God, and while she's busy fixing what's wrong with him, she can't see what's wrong with her. Boy, that's good. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good stuff right there, ain't it, Brother Ricky? Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Lonnie, ain't that good? That's good. That's Bible, too. That's what's even better about it. Amen. They can't argue with it. Amen. It's Bible. Hallelujah. But we worry. We worry about our spouses. Where's he going? What's he doing? What's she doing? Where's she been? Quit. Turn it over to God. Turn it. When you got married, you knew there were going to be some bumps along the way. But you promised, I hope you did, you promised to take those problems to God. But when you get into them, it's like, well, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, turn it over to God. being a knothead and turning over to God. We worry about our family. We worry about our love life. We worry about our spiritual life. Isn't that silly? I mean, it's silly, but that's what we do. We're worried about whether or not we're pleasing God instead of just going to God and finding out. Do you know many Christians try to live the Christian life without ever consulting God? It's true. They try to. It's like I'm gonna impress God. He'll be okay with me. No, God's not gonna be okay with you impressing Him. Get to know Him, love Him. He'll show you what's wrong. You sitting around worried about whether or not God's happy with you, and worried about whether or not God's pleased with you. Why don't you talk to Him and find out? Why don't you get in the Bible and have some prayer and find out if God's pleased with you? He'll point it out. Amen. No sense in you sitting around chewing your thumbnails, your fingernails down, worrying about whether or not everything's right in your Christian life. You can't do it anyway. I've told you that 1,000 times, but I'll tell you that again this morning. You can't do it. There's nothing you can do that's going to please God. God has, if anything comes out of your life that's pleasing to God, God did it. That's a fact. God did it. You can't do a blooming thing to please God outside of Him doing it through you. Well, then I looked at another one, the fourth one, worries of social life. And that's all them friends you got. Especially those of you that have a Facebook account, you got way too many friends to worry about. Amen. I know some people that have 5,000 friends. I think, how in the world do you keep up with 5,000 people? Amen. But you know what I've learned to do? I've learned to ignore all their ramblings and rantings. It don't matter. Because if you can sit and worry yourself sick about everybody else's problems, I can't get on there when they're arguing. I have to just turn it off, move, get out of there. I'm not gonna get online and get in an argument. I'll admit I used to get involved in all that, and I finally figured out that's a trap. That ain't nothing. Hey, there may be Christians on there bawling each other out, but I'm gonna tell you something. I ain't got no business in the middle of that. If God opens the door for me to do something, to do some gentle teaching or correcting to somebody on there, that's one thing. But if they want to argue, hey, if they want to argue, I'm gonna stay out of it. Because it's not for me to make myself sick inside worrying about something when I can't control it. Amen. We may see our friends starting to make bad decisions and big mistakes, and we spend all our time worrying about them. Turn them over to God, for crying out loud. Then there's worries about our work life. Jesse was coming in yesterday talking about how some of them up there, they's giving him a hard time, and they wasn't listening to him. He was trying to do the right thing, and he was doing the right thing, and they was complaining anyway, and it just wasn't right. Well, he done the right thing this morning, and he asked us to pray about it. Amen? It's better to pray about it than sit and worry about it. Amen? It ain't even worth talking about it. Turn it over to God. Let go of it. So I don't know about this. I don't know about this at work. Well, just let it go. Listen, you're going to have problems at work. If you got a job and you work with people, hey, you know, the only way you can get out of problems at work is to be your own boss and do something where you don't have to ever deal with people. Amen? Because anytime you deal with people, you're going to deal with problems. And the best way to do it is just have the grace of God. Hey, just take the grace of God with you and love them and be sweet to them and be kind and share God's goodness with everybody. Amen. I can tell you, a good example is Brother Darrell Weaver. That man never answers his phone, never says a word, something without glory to God, hallelujah. Well, it's kind of hard to come in with some bad stuff after that. Amen. I ain't trying to toot his horn this morning, but, you know, he's caught on to the right idea. Give God glory. It's hard to argue with somebody giving God glory. It's hard to come back at them when they're giving God glory. So just give God glory, turn it all over to Him, and let Him clean it up. Amen. I got two more. This is just first point. All right, look here. There's the worries of our financial life. Oh, I got bills, preacher. I got bills. I don't know what I'm going to do about my bills. Oh, I don't know how we're ever going to get these bills paid. Oh, so many bills. Yeah, we all got them, don't we? Like I said this morning, sometimes there's more month at the end of the money. Hardly ever any more money at the end of the month, but there's always more month at the end of the money. And there's some of them you think, well, maybe I'll get it paid off before I die. Can I help you? Don't buy more than you can afford. Because you're adding to your worries. Don't put yourself in a bunch of debt you can't ever get out of. Amen? Sometimes in medical things are going to hit you and they're going to overwhelm you and it's stuff you can't afford to pay for. I understand those things are going to come, but don't put yourself in a horrible mess financially. Don't get taken advantage of and don't take advantage of some easy-looking deal that'll put you in a financial mess. Because I'm going to tell you something. God can get you out of honest problems, and God will get you out of honest problems, but you put yourself in a mess, you may find yourself working your way out of that. But I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you're at this morning, wherever you're at financially, understand something. God knows what you need. God knows how to take care of you, and God knows what you can get by on. And God may have to take you. Look here. I just want to make this clear to you. God may take you through some lessons being learned in order to keep you from making those same mistakes again. God may have to, like you do a puppy whenever he wets on the carpet, you take his nose and rub his nose in the puddle. Hey, God may have to do that with you financially to get you to understand not to make the same mistakes over and over again. But I'm going to tell you something. Worrying about it ain't going to fix it. I tell you what, next time when them bill collectors calls and they want to know when you can make a payment, just tell them how worried you are. Amen? Just tell them all about your worry. It won't do no good. Amen. And it won't do any good to worry. But don't sit and fret over it. Take it to God and tell God and go on. Be honest with your bills. Hey, be honest with your money, but take it to God and leave it there and pay your bills. God will take care of you if you'll take care of his business. And then we come to the last one. There's worries of physical and mental health. Amen. I mean, we do. We're always concerned about our health. I mean, folks, let's be honest. We live in a world that's in a mess. They're spraying stuff out of airplanes every day over the top of us. Y'all realize that?
Yeah.
You ever see them streaks that go across the sky? Come out of them airplanes? Hey, you live. If you paid attention 20 years ago, you never. Oh, you see a little light trail come out behind a plane. It's called a contrail. It evaporates into nothing. But nowadays, when they fly over, there's a long white trail that goes all the way across the sky, and you can see them crisscross the sky, make checkerboard patterns. And once they do, them things just fan out and become the haze over the sky. Now I ain't got time to get all off into that, but they're spraying aluminum oxide and barium and something else. All these things are toxic to us. And Lord only knows what's happening to our bodies with all this stuff. I think they're trying to give us all cancer. They put fluoride in our water, which is a byproduct of the aluminum-making process. It's supposed to strengthen our teeth, but it dumbs us down mentally, lowers our IQ. They've been doing that since the 50s, I think. Not only that, but we got nuclear reactors putting radiation into the air. I read somewhere in New Mexico they were taking high readings with Geiger counters. That stuff's coming across the United States, and it's going to affect every single one of us. I mean, there's so many things. If you want to find something to worry about, we can find something to worry about. I mean, one out of three men is going to get cancer. That was a report I heard years ago. I mean, you look around. I mean, people are sick at a dramatic rate compared to where they used to be. There's plenty of reasons to be sick. I mean, you turn on the TV, every other commercial is some ad for some pill that you can take that may end up killing you before it makes you well, but hey, they make that sound real pretty. Hey, there's plenty to be worried about if you don't find something to worry about. But you know what? God told us that that's not, he says, hey, Hey, they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They're choked with worry. I mean, there's a pill for everything if you want to find a pill, but those pills won't do anything but mask the problem. Let me tell you something. There is no pill that's put out by any of the pharmaceutical companies that will cure worry. And there's none that's going to cure everybody's illnesses either. Listen to me. The best way to handle all that stuff is to take it to God. Now, I'm not saying, hey, if you need medicine, don't take it and just go to God. Listen, I believe you ought to take the medicine and go to God if it's fixing or it's helping you. But here's what I'm going to tell you. There is no medicine that's going to cure you. Amen. There's no magic pill that's going to do it. God has, and God can. But I'm telling you, those things, all those family worries, love life worries, spiritual worries, social life worries, work life worries, financial worries, health worries, all those things choke out our spiritual growth. That's a lot of stuff. That's the things you deal with on a regular basis. And all of those are opportunities for the devil to kick you out of a relationship with God. Let me rephrase it. Not a relationship, but a fellowship. He can't undo the relationship. But he can sure mess up the fellowship. He can sure dirty up your heart where God doesn't want to sit on the throne in there. He can't sit on the throne because sin's sitting on the throne. Number two, not only will worry choke out your spiritual life, but number two, the Lord will not allow worry in the life of the believer. So then worry is sin, and we disobey the Lord directly when we worry. It's sin. It's as ugly and black as murder. It's as vile as adultery. And until you see it as that, you won't reject it like that. You have to understand, it is the opposite of God working in our life because it's us working, trying to figure out a way to work in our own life. Worry is anxious care or anxiety. Luke 12, you still in Luke? Luke 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, notice what he says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Why did he say that? Because there are many people who spend their time more worried about their daily physical needs than they do about their relationship with the Lord. And he says, don't do that. Don't spend your time worrying about things that everybody has to have. You're spending your time spinning your wheels when God wants to take hold of your life and do something with you. You're wasting time and you're rejecting Him. You're turning your back on Him to try to handle something without Him. You're over here worrying, taking thought, caring. What am I going to do? Anxious. Well, what are we going to do? When God says, I'll fix it. I love you. You're my child. No. I don't know what I'm going to do. You got to understand how it's so fearful. Listen, we have... Can you imagine a child in a home acting this way? I mean, it's kind of silly. But you got a mom and dad who's providing everything for the child. Yet the child's sitting fretting over what they're going to do. Well, what am I going to do? I don't know if I have clothes to put on in the morning. Mom says, well, I'm taking care of the laundry in here. I've got you something laid out. But I don't know if I'll find the right thing to put on. Come eat some food. I'll provide food for you. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be enough for me. I mean, it's just kind of silly to think that a child. Listen, when you're a child, you don't worry about this stuff. Sam, I guarantee you, you don't worry. Sit back in your bedroom worrying if there's going to be enough food to eat. No, you just go get you a sandwich or do whatever. Listen, we don't think about that kind of stuff. You don't sit and worry because you've got parents taking care of you. Hey, child of God, you've got a father who wants to take care of you. Ridiculous for us to worry. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, there's a verse over there that says, and I'll just read it to you. He said, "For I have no man like my." Paul was speaking to the Philippian church, and he said, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Now, what he was saying there, he's saying, there's nobody down there who thinks like I do, and nobody down there is going to worry about you. That's why he was sending Timothy to him, because nobody down there is going to care about their daily needs. Nobody down there is going to worry about them if they're not taken care of. Amen? That's the kind of thing he's talking about. We sit and worry about ourselves. Like he was saying, nobody will worry about you. We sit and fret over our daily needs. We sit and fret over our well-being. We fret over our family. We fret over all these things. God says, look, that's sinful. I promise you that I'll take care of you. I promise you that. Amen? Now, look in Matthew. Turn to Matthew. We'll read the passage which tells you just how much he cares for you. Matthew 6, verse 25-34. Matthew 6, 25-34. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." What does that mean? Don't worry about your life. Don't worry what you shall eat. Don't worry what you shall drink. Don't worry for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat? Isn't life more than food? And the body more than raiment, clothes? He said, "Behold, look at the fowls of the air. For they sow not. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Birds don't work. The birds work. They just go get it. God provides it. Amen? God said, "Aren't you better than birds?" Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought," worrying, that's what it means, "which of you by worrying can add one cubit unto his stature?" I don't like how short I am. I'm going to worry about it. Maybe I'll grow. It don't work. Believe me, I tried it a lot when I was younger. You are what you are. You can't make yourself taller by worrying. He said, "And why take ye thought for raiment? What do you worry about clothes for? Consider the lilies of the field. Beautiful flowers." And I've been ordering vegetable seeds and I ordered some flower seed, and man, looking through them catalogs. I don't think it's effeminate for a man to like flowers. I mean, God made them. I can sit and look at them. That's beautiful art. I mean, that's better art than anything hanging in any gallery, you ask me, the things that God's created. And, you know, God says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." He said, they don't work at being beautiful. Them lilies, they don't work at putting those colors on their petals. They don't go gather yarn and make them a garment to put on. That's what it means, they don't spin. When I was little, I used to think, flowers don't spin around in circles. That's what I thought they meant. But they don't spin yarn. They don't make themselves clothing. That's what it means. They don't have to. God does that. God provides, amen, and God will provide. You know what? If you'll just focus on loving Him and praising Him and giving Him glory and telling others how wonderful He is, He'll take care of you. He said, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." I mean, Solomon had all the money in the world. He had all the people around him that could make anything he wanted to wear. And God said, "Hey, Even at his best, he didn't look as pretty as them flyers out there. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today, I mean, you think about the flyers of the field which get stepped on by livestock, and livestock goes to the bathroom on it, and people do work and run over it with their implements and tractors and cars. And I mean, God makes that, and people just use it up and run over it and knock it down. And I mean, it's just common flowers. They're not that big a deal. And God says, you know, if all that's that pretty, he said, which it, today, it's there today, and tomorrow it's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That's what he says to the worrier. Do you realize that's who you are? If you're a worrier, ye of little faith. That's tough. But that's exactly what God... I didn't say it, God. Don't get mad at me. God said, you're a ye of little faith if you worry a lot. He said, therefore, take no thought. That means don't worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's a problem everybody deals with. But you know what I know? Even that homeless man sitting there in a cardboard hut on the sidewalk's got clothes on, and somebody will feed him. You say, well, I don't want to wind up in a cardboard hut on the sidewalk in dirty clothes getting eaten out of shelter. No, but I'm just trying to show you that God will take care of even the guy on the sidewalk, the bum in the alley. Surely he'll take care of somebody who's trying to serve him and love him. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And then, right there, he said in verse 33, he said, here's your solution. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to put people into the kingdom of God. Seek to add people into the kingdom of God. Seek to tell people how Jesus died for their sins. Seek to tell people how the blood washes sins away. Seek to tell people what he's done for you. Hey, you do that, you blow your gospel horn, God says, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. Don't you know if you're working for him and you're pleasing him and you're doing it, you're getting the gospel out like he's commanded us to do, and you're honoring him by obeying him and loving him. God's not going to look down and say, well, I'm not going to help that one. No. God's got to put, I used to hear a preacher say, God will put the angels on bread and water rations to take care of you. Amen. Why sit and worry? You've forgotten who you are? God? Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care, thought of the things of itself. There's no need in dealing with tomorrow's, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. God says, don't think about it. Don't even go there. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know why? He said, tomorrow, the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. When you get to tomorrow, there'll be plenty of things for you to deal with then. You don't need to borrow what's going to happen tomorrow today. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There are enough troubling things to deal with that we need to go to God about today and leave with him. There's not things here today to worry about. Let me make sure you get that through your head. When God says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, he doesn't mean, hey, worry about what you got to worry about today and worry about what you got to worry about tomorrow. That's not what the Bible's teaching. Take to God the things that are bothering you today and leave them with him and live for him and seek to please him with your life. Seek to have his power flowing through your life today and put that other thing in his hands that's troubling you. And then when tomorrow comes, there'll be something else that you need to take and place on God's altar and leave with him. Don't deal with it, but one day at a time. That's the old song Christy Lane sang, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Hey, but what that song didn't mention, far as I know, I don't remember the words, give everything in that day to God. Not just in word, but in action. Philippians 4:6, Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. That's what it means. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, pray about it, agonize in prayer about it, and then thank God for handling it and walk away. I mean, you got faith in some people. You got faith when you pull up there at Lamar County. If you're like me and you're on Lamar County Electric, you have faith when you pull up there to drive through and put your money in the box and send it inside that they're going to apply it to your account. You don't go inside and watch the woman record it into the record and make sure it's all done, never T's crossed, never I's dotted, right? You make your car payment or whatever you got to pay, your payment, your mortgage, whatever, and you fill out that slip and put that money with it and put it in that drive-thru thing. Hey, listen, or you go inside. You don't check and make sure they go to the ledger and the computer or whatever and do everything. You just trust that they're going to take care of it, right? You know what you do? Well, then why, when you take it to God, can't you leave it there and walk away knowing it's going to be handled? Why take it down here and go through the monkey business of fumbling around with it at the altar and telling him you're giving it to him only to pick it up and carry it right back with you? How rotten would it be for me to go through this offering plate and find the money that I put into it and put it back in my pocket? That's mine. Oh, it ain't mine. It was mine. It ain't mine no more. It's not mine. Is it? Is that mine now? That's God's. It don't belong to me. You know why it don't belong to me? Because I gave it to him. And if I took it from him now, what would I be? I'd be a thief. I'd be a dirty, rotten thief is what I'd be for stealing out of God's offering plate. Well, let me ask you a question. When you take something to the altar, a worry, something troubling you, and you take it to God and you give it to him, hey, if you go back and get it so you can worry some more, aren't you a thief just like I would be? Well, it's funny when you put it in that light, it sounds a little different, don't it? Hallelujah. Number three, worry is a robber because it takes us away from Christ. Luke 10, turn to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm trying to help you this morning, I really am. And I'm going to encourage you right now to be ye a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Because if you're a doer, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're deceiving yourself. Amen? Don't just nod your head and agree with me. You need to put it into practice. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Here's a story where Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. Now look here. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And I want you to picture the story in your mind. I want you to picture Jesus coming in. And, of course, she's going to have people over there. She's got Jesus coming. I mean, there's people coming, you know. She's going to have a lot of house guests at her house. Now, notice what happened. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So we know what happened when Jesus got to the house. He sat down, as Jesus always did, and he started teaching them. He only had 3 years. I mean, he knew he had 3 years on this earth to teach, so he knew he had got to get busy, so everywhere he went about teaching because he wanted them to know as much about his Father as he possibly could teach them during the short period of time he was here. So he got to her house. He went in. He started teaching them about God, and when he did, Mary came in and sat down on the floor and listened to what Jesus had to say. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, can't you just see her? When I read that, you know who I think of, first person I think of? My mama. My mama, you come over, oh, she's just fretting all the time. Oh, this house just got me a mess. I mean, you could eat off her kitchen floor. It wasn't nothing really out of place nowhere. It wasn't nothing with dust on it nowhere. I mean, everything in her house was clean. But she, Oh, it's just a gummy mess in here. What y'all want? You want me to fix you something? Y'all hungry? Y'all all know somebody like that. Some of y'all may be like that. Somebody come over your house. All you worried about giving them something to eat or making them comfortable, doing this, doing that. And I mean, it's not that you're doing terrible things, but you're just fussing around trying to make sure everything's come. You ever have to just say, sit down? I used to tell my mama, we'd be halfway through the meal. She's still walking around with a spoon and a pot. I'm like, sit down and eat with us. Well, I will in a minute. Well, no, sit down now, mama. We're going to be done eating in a minute. Sit down. She's still trying to take care of everybody, and she won't sit down and eat herself. I believe that's when they said Martha was greatly cumbered about, amen, she was cumbered about with much serving and came to him. And she was so flustered, she came to the Lord, and she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Don't you care that nobody cares about this house but me? Lord, don't you care that we got all these people here? And everybody, I know everybody needs something to eat. They walked over here. I mean, everybody, surely somebody needs something to drink. I mean, I got to get them glasses. I got to get plates. I got to set things out. I mean, look, this whole house is just a mess. I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, don't you care that she's making me do all the work? And she's just sitting there. And I'm trying to make everybody comfortable. Tell her to get up and help me. What she said, that ain't in the original. That ain't in the, I mean, I'm condensing it and paraphrasing, but that's what she said. Bid, hey, what did he say? Bid her therefore that she help me. Tell her to get up and help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You just full of worry, woman. That's what he was saying. But one thing is needful. Hey, you're missing the most important thing here. You're worried about help, and help is here. You're worried about help and making you look good as a hostess. That's all it was about. He said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She was anxious about her housework. She was anxious about being a hostess. And she should have just sat down and listened. I'm telling you, listen, here he is, the Son of God, sitting in her living room teaching truth from heaven. And she's more worried about getting help in the kitchen than she is getting help herself. Listen to me. That's just like us trying to handle our business instead of going to God and sitting down and shutting up and listening. I have known women over the years when the preaching was going on, they was in the back in a fellowship hall. I'm not saying here, but I've known women over the years that when preaching was going on, they's back in the back cleaning up something in the kitchen, no more listening than anything, back there gossiping in the kitchen, trying to get everything cleaned up so they want to look like they's doing their part. Amen. When preaching's going on. When they could be in there getting help, they was in a fellowship hall worrying about, I don't know why. The only thing I can assume is they wanted somebody to say, well, I guess so-and-so cleaned up in here. That's the only reason I can come up with. For their time was so valuable, they had to hurry up and get it done. Now, I'm not picking on anybody here, but I'm just telling you, listen, there is a time there's a time to handle things, and there's a time to handle more important things. Amen? And people, God's telling us all the way through this message, He's telling us all the way through the Scripture, that the material things of this world, and they are important, but they're not as important as spiritual things. They're not as important as spending time with Him. And the more you spend time with Him, the less you'll worry about material matters. Because you'll realize that God is able to handle it all. But I want you to see something here in Martha's deal. Martha's sin was threefold, what she did here. Threefold, sinned in three different ways. I mean, listen, number one, she robbed Christ of the devotion that he should have gotten from her. She didn't sit down and love on Him. She didn't, and when I say love on him, I mean she didn't sit down and say, Lord, what you have to say is more important than anything in the whole wide world to me. She didn't give him the devotion that he deserved. So she robbed him of that. And when you're, look up here, when you're worrying, you're robbing him of his devotion. The devotion your heart ought to give to him. You're saying, I can handle it. I don't need his help. I'll figure it out. So you're robbing him of devotion. Number two, she blamed Mary for being a poor hostess. I mean, she run her sister down. So she sinned in doing that, trying to make her sister look bad before Jesus. Boy, that's awful, wasn't it? Went to Jesus talking bad about her sister behind her back. Awful. Well, I don't know if it's behind her back, but she still talked bad about her. And number three, she overloaded herself with anxiety, fret, and worry. Threefold sin. I'm telling you, worry is a dangerous thing because it'll put you in a mess. See, here's the thing. Was what Martha doing, was it a good thing? She was late. She was trying to, I mean, you got to look at it like this. She was trying to have a good dinner party for the Lord Jesus. That's what she was doing. She wanted to make sure that his time there in her house was spectacular. She wanted, when he walked out the door, to say, boy, Martha sure took good care of us, didn't she? That's what she wanted. You say, man, that's not, how can that be sinful, doing something good for the Lord Jesus? Well, can I tell you this? Christ desires the love of the heart before the labor of the hands. He'd rather have the love of your heart than the labor of your hands. Because here's what he knows. If he can get the love, the real love of your heart, he'll get the labor of your hands. Listen, it's like I always said, you know, if God gets hold of a man's heart, he'll get hold of his billfold. Amen? Because where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Amen? And if your treasure is with the Lord Jesus, you'll give him your everything. So he knows if he can get your heart, he'll get your hands. But guess what? There's lots of people that'll offer their hands to the Lord but won't offer their heart. Hey, Salvation Army, they'll offer their hands. Catholic Church, I mean, hey, ain't nobody does more than Catholic Charities probably. But their heart's not there. The United Way, there's plenty of people helping down and out people. But their heart ain't in it for the Lord. Amen? And lastly, worry shuts the Lord out of your life. Bible makes it very clear that the Lord loves you. He feels for you in your weaknesses, and we've got them. And he cares for you in everything. It grieves him to be ignored and shut out. And not only that, it's also very dangerous to be put in that position because it makes you prey, easy prey for the devil. We're going to look at one more place and we're going to finish with this. But I want you to take in the seriousness of this verse, this passage. 1 Peter 5. Turn over to 1 Peter 5, verses 7 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. And we just read, I believe we read verse 7 to start the message off. But when you carry on from there, you see something. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, that's all of it, right? We cast all of our care upon Jesus. And the very next thing that comes out of the Scripture is this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And last Sunday night, when Peter was up here giving his testimony, he touched upon something I've said to you over and over again, how when the devil as a roaring lion walks about, he's not looking for the strong ones, he's looking for the weak, he's looking for the lame. Can I ask you a question? If you don't cast your care upon Jesus, if you spend your time worrying, you are not strong. You are as weak as can be. Like Brother Martin said, you weaker than strained water. Amen. Don't you think there's a reason why casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, it was followed up immediately with be on guard against the devil who walks about seeking whom he may devour? There's a reason why those verses are right next to each other, because when you worry, you make yourself pray number one for the devil. Because where you try to handle it, the devil says, aha, there's one in my corner right there. They turned their back on God and they're trying to do things themselves. I can get them now. You know what comes flying in as soon as you start handling things for yourself? Doubt and fear and anxiety. And he will overwhelm you. And notice the next verse. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, which means don't take your eyes off Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord and fight Him off, saying, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm focused on Him, submitting myself unto God, resisting the devil, and he'll flee from me. Resist Him steadfast. That means don't waver. Trust God. Listen, worry says, I don't trust you, Lord. Worry says, I can't believe you now, Lord. Amen. That's what worry says. I can't trust God. I got to handle this myself. He said, resist Him steadfast in the faith. Now notice this. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Those things are the things which the Gentiles seek. That's what everybody's looking for. The things you worry about, things you're troubled about, are things that everybody deals with. He said, the same of everybody goes through the same issues. Everybody goes through the same afflictions. He says, you stop worrying. Amen. But the God of all, and now listen here, this is comfort, folks. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory. Don't miss that. He's told us, someday you're coming home to live with me. And when you come home to live with me, it's just going to be glory forever. Now, what kind of a God would promise that and not be with us until then? I mean, He's got eternal glory. Amen. We are already joint heirs with Christ. He has made all these promises to us. He has told us about all these blessings He wants to bless us with. He's told us to pray and He'll answer our prayers. He's promised us all this. Now, why in the world would He do all that and then expect us to sit down here and wring our hands, chew our nails, get sick at our stomach, turn our hair gray early? Amen? Or watch it fall out from worry? No. He says, after you've suffered a while. Suffered a while? Yes, you're going to have to suffer a while. You're going to face these things. You're going to face these times of trial. You're going to face these times of temptation. You say, wait a minute, God didn't want me to worry. Why is He letting these trials and temptations and everything come at me? He knows I'm not strong. After that you have suffered a while, what's the next words? What's it say after that? Somebody tell me. Make you perfect. Okay, hold on. You've got to go through some times when you normally would worry. Hey, you're not going to get away from the things that make you worry. But you have to find when those things come, where do you go? You go to God. Boom. Set them down. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm begging you to help me. And I'm thanking you because I know you're going to. I'm walking away from it. God's got it. But you know what? From the moments between when that thing hits and you get it to God, there's a little suffering that goes on. But you take it to Him. And every time something boom lands in your life and you pick it up and you take it to Him, guess what? He's making you perfect because you're learning the right thing to do. I mean, it's like a child. First, that child, they don't ever pick up nothing. They don't care about nothing. They don't clean up nothing. They make more. All they do is make messes. But you know what? Over the course of a life, they learn how to do the right thing. And that's how when they get grown, they end up doing the right thing because they're taught the right thing. They become mature. They become grown-ups because they've learned to take the thing to where it goes and do the right thing with it. And that's what we do as a believer. We learn to take that thing to God repetitively. We do it. And eventually when we do it over and over enough, guess what? We become what he calls perfect. We grow up and become mature. And it settles us. You don't panic when that next thing lands. When that next bomb goes off in your life, you don't fall apart. Why? Because you've been on that road before. God didn't fail you last time, or the one before that, or the one before that, or the one before that, and far back as you can remember. Hey, God ain't never failed me. So when this one goes off, guess what? He didn't bring me this far to leave me. I can take this one, and I can take it over there to him, and I can set it down, and I can plead God's promises. I can plead the blood of Jesus over it, and I can thank God for his blessing and his taking care of it, and I can walk away. What's the next word? What does it say? Let me look at it. It's not that I don't trust y'all, but I got to see it. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish. That means your feet are planted and you ain't going nowhere. You're not going back into the fields of sin. You're not going back to worry. That's how the old saints of God got it all together, and they're rock solid. And I'm telling you, that I've met some of them. I mean, you couldn't budge them. I know God's got it. I don't worry. I know God's got it. He'll establish you and strengthen you. And I like the last one, settle you. You're grown, established, strong, and settled. Isn't that what you want to be? Well, I can tell you how to start today. Whatever worries you've got on your plate right now, bring them to God and leave them there. Start with that one because there'll be more to follow because it's going to happen in everybody's life. But bring your worries today. Repent. Tell God, I know now. I see it. God, you've made it clear. You've made it so clear in my mind, in my heart. I know now that what I've been doing with this is wrong, and I'm turning it over to you, and I'm letting you have it. And help me next time to do the very same thing. Let's stand together. Father, bless the invitation now as we're about to sing. Lord, I just pray, Father, that folks, Lord, you've dealt with them. I pray, Father, that they make their way to the altar. Lord, that they come in repentance and, Lord, get it cleared out of the way and begin to get stronger as they trust you and believe you to take care of the problems in their life. Lord, your word is true, and what you've told us is true, and it will never change. So, Father, I just plead with you right now. Lord, this message, I pray you'd bless the invitation, bless the message. In Jesus' name, amen.